I have on the line Peter, our own Peter Ridgway. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning to you, John. It's good to talk to you.
That's great. Thanks very much for taking the call. Tell us, you're 21 years, I believe, with Near FM.
Ah, funny you should say that. I've been doing so.
Yeah.
I can hear myself coming back here. It's a bit strange.
I've been doing a little bit
of research. And it seems that I recorded for the history program, we called it Living History, in 1998, some history programs, the 200th anniversary of the uprising of 1798. So it looks like I'm actually there in the station 22 years.
22 and years. And this is our 25th anniversary. So
yes,
the station was only 3 years old when you joined.
It would have been, yeah.
So tell us, sorry, Peter, go on.
I was going to say that when I got there, the guys in the station told me that the station had existed under a couple of different names, but it was only a couple of years that it was called Near FM.
Okay.
And it was 101.6, I think, on the dial.
That's come a long way since then, hasn't it?
Oh yes, it has.
Now the setup,
and it's not by accident or coincidence either. I mean, I know the guys, the movers and shakers, the head honchos in the station, and they are serious about their community radio. And it's, you know, it's been a real deliberate development over the years. And I think you have to say they've done pretty well, because it's not a bad station.
Yeah, no, and the setup, the studios in here are fantastic. I've had guests in who've complimented the whole setup. And as you say there's a lot of work. I interviewed a couple of the guys on the committee, Declan Cahill being one, and he was talking about all the work that goes on in the background that us presenters wouldn't even realise, you know.
Absolutely, and I, to be quite honest with you, I'm aware of that. And when I go in there, and we all love our radio, you know, we all listen to the radio, and we all love doing it. And when I go in there, every time I think I am privileged to be able to do this, and do it in such comfort as well.
Yeah, no, it is. It's great. It's great to see it. And does the management give you a lot of freedom as well?
Yeah,
you know, you're not told what to do, what to say. You know, they let you do what you want within reason.
Yes, I'm again rooting back through the brain over the last so many years, and never once has any senior person come to me and said, "Peter, you really shouldn't have played that. That's a terrible song or that program." And I've done loads of different programs, but you know, that wasn't really suitable. Never been said. It's great.
Yeah. Now tell us how you actually got started.
Like at the very, very start.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things, John, where kind of life, what are we talking now? I would have been approaching my 40th year. Life hadn't turned out as I would have hoped, I suppose, for most of us. We all had these big ideas. And I was kind of going nowhere, but the one thing I did like was radio. Did a course in a small college, a media course, in a small college in Merrion Square that closed down halfway through. But I thought, well, I'd already done the radio module, so that's what I wanted. What next? And then I somehow found out about community radio, and from there found out about Near FM, and then got into Near FM under community employment.
As did a lot of us.
Well, there you have it. And it was a learning curve, I had to say. The first program I was doing for the station was Living History, and that's how we got to record the 1798 lectures. And they put on, I suppose, well, I don't know who they is, but I think it might have been the council and historical groups in all of the local libraries, like Coolock Library, it would have been Raheny Library, Donnymead Library, Eilac Centre in town, those one over in North Mines. And of course, I would just turn up with my tape recorder, the station's tape recorder, these big cassette recorders, heavy things, and ask the appropriate people if I could record them. So I just sit in the front with the microphone on, and I would, and we'd play those on the radio. And I have been thinking, you know, I've always fancied myself as a bit of an amateur historian anyway. So I have to say, these times are fascinating times for anybody who is interested in history, between pandemics and, you know, one of the great democracies of, well, so-called great democracies of the USA, possibly slowly turning into a dictatorship, without meaning to get too political. On that subject, if I sound a bit rough, it's because I was up late last night, like very late, listening to the presidential debate, the US presidential debate, in case you don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And did you go straight into presenting, Peter, or did you, were you involved in the technical end of things?
It was both.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure it's still the same now. You kind of had to do everything, John.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if somebody, you'd have a lot of people, guests coming in to do programs, and they wouldn't be too familiar with the sound desk. So you'd help out in that respect. And then I'd be doing the history program. And anytime, and of course, I love my music. That's my, you know, the first thought would be always, oh, if somebody hasn't turned up and I can do a bit of a music program, that'd be great. So I'd be doing that as well.
Yeah, and you present a music show now every weekend. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, Saturday afternoon, slow evening, as I put it, half four to half six, and I still haven't figured out if half four is the afternoon or the evening. So I call it into the evening. But again, I'm doing rock and roll. I call it pre-Beatles, say from, you know, through the 50s up to when the whole beat group thing started. But I've done loads of the music programs, country music. There used to be one on Saturday afternoon, the one that Donny's doing, our own Donny Tarrant.
Yeah.
It's a great country program. I've been known to do the country program over the years. My first proper radio program, first music program that I was actually doing, you know, it was my show, if you like, pardon me possibly being pretentious, was Show Bands on Sunday afternoons, it would have been. And there's not a whole lot of the really good 60s show bands music around, but what I had, I would play. And then I met John Doyle. Oh, yes. Well, I was in the station. I interviewed a guy on Saturday morning. Robert, whose second name, pardon me, I can't quite remember, from Colossus Dulick. And he was telling the listeners about this media course that they were offering. And I thought, my goodness, I'd like to try that. Because, you know, I'd had maybe 2 years in the station. I thought it'd be great to learn how to do the thing right. So I went on the media course in Colossus Dulick. If the listeners aren't aware, they're literally just up the road from the station, and we have a great relationship with them. And I met John Doyle, the John Doyle, Sunday morning on Near FM, John Doyle, and he had a massive knowledge about all 60s music and the Irish show bands especially. And that was the first proper music show, and it's great memories of it, because we had some serious listeners, you know, that there's some people who love that era. And of course, with John's knowledge, and I had a fair few songs, we had a good time.
And it's great when you get feedback as well from the listeners, Peter, requests and this, and sometimes you get a thank you very much for doing that, you cheered me up, and it's great, isn't it?
It's super. I got it. We have a regular. Well, we have a bunch of regular listeners, and they're probably listening, and they all know who they are. I'm tempted to list off the names, but one of our regular listeners is a lady called Virginia. And only 2 weeks ago, I went into the station, did my Saturday show, came out, had a look through the post, and found she had sent me a card, and it simply said, "Thanks for the good music you played last Saturday." And you think to yourself, you know, that is really, really great.
Yeah,
it's just a lovely feeling.
It makes it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you reckon now? We're still motoring on through this pandemic. You're still coming in presenting your show. it's a very important time for radio, and especially community radio with our listeners.
It is. And I found it, I found that especially when we went into lockdown first, say, was it March?
Yeah.
When, you know, there really, really wasn't much to be doing anyway. And I found, I'm in my 60s and kind of a lifetime smoker. So I felt, you know, if I caught this wretched virus, I could be in trouble. And I wasn't inclined to go out. And I still find, I think most people are the same, because you see how quiet it is out. Yeah. Unless you really have something specific to go out for. So during the times, especially, the radio was absolutely priceless. And I know the guys, Sunday guys, were able to get their shows on air from through computers. And that was great because, you know, again, if you prefer your radio to some of the awful daytime television that does be on, to listen to, say, Roger and John Markey, and I don't think John Markey was able to do the computer thing, but Roger was there, Donny, and it was something, you know, if you might be getting, oh, I'm getting fed up with this whole lockdown business, and then it's, oh no, but Roger and Donny will be on, and it'll be 4.5 hours of playing music. And it really, really does make the difference. It does.
It does, yeah. And Near FM got together with Madeline Ebbs from Dublin City Council, and they got together with Michael O'Sullivan and put on a show called Cocoon Tunes for people who are cocooning, and it was a great success. It's still going, actually.
Yeah,
that was good for Near FM.
It was, yeah. Now we helped produce some really great programs over the years. I know from my own shows that can sometimes be a bit. Well, let's put it this way: I make mistakes. Occasionally, the wrong song gets played and things like that. But I know also that sometimes the radio that we put out is really excellent. And you think, well, okay, we know where most of us are voluntary. Well, not the most. We don't have a big fat contract like some of the guys.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, we're putting out the best radio we can. And sometimes it's something you think you can be proud of. You think to yourself, ah, yeah, that wasn't a bad one.
Yeah.
And John, some of the programs I've been involved with over the years have been sporty. And some of the sport we have put out on the radio has been really interesting. Like, our own Fergus Carroll, who does the sports, was the PRO for the Leinster Cricket Union.
Yeah, he loves his cricket, Fergus.
He does, yes. Now, funny thing is, my father was English, so I had a fairly decent knowledge, a fondness for cricket, and a decent knowledge of it. And Ireland were playing, I think it was the Zimbabwe Academy, they call it. It would be, I suppose, in soccer or GAA terms, the Zimbabwe B team. And Fergus set up a whole day's live cricket in Clontarf on the radio. Myself, like never having done any sports broadcasting, this is in the very early years, myself, Michael O'Brien, you can hear Mick on Saturday evening as well, or early on Sunday morning. I missed that one, it's a bit early for me. But the pair of us were sitting there the whole day with our microphones, and I think we called it a reporter phone. It was a kind of a telephone, fancy telephone with a microphone and a pair of headphones connected up. And we were sitting there the whole day doing commentary on the cricket match. And as far as we know, we are the first radio station in the country, and presumably that's the north of Ireland as well, to do a full day's cricket commentary. And that was on Near FM, and we enjoyed it, and a lot more cricket matches have been on the radio since then.
Yeah, I was doing a show myself once, and Fergus was going to present a commentary on a cricket match, and I said to myself, ooh, radio commentary on a cricket match. You know,
yeah.
But Fergus actually made it sound very exciting, and I actually found myself listening to the whole thing here in the studio. I was just doing the desk, you know.
Yeah, it is. It's, and you know, it's to me, that's the essence of community radio. Because, you know, some people, and the Ferguson, the guys do the GAA matches as well.
Yeah.
And they used to do the Shelbourne soccer home matches from Talca Park. And a young fella who was still doing his leaving cert, called Bernard O'Toole, used to do the commentary. And Bernard has gone on to be one of the sports presenters on Virgin Media. You occasionally see him presenting or sometimes commentating on their soccer matches. So that's the kind of sport we've been managing to put out on Neil FM over the years. And don't forget the Ruhini 5 mile road race as well.
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of outside broadcasts were going on. Being delayed now at the moment, but hopefully we get back to doing all that. As you know, we're just running out of time to go for a break. Is there anything you'd like to add, Peter, before we go to our break?
All I would like to add is, if I could take this opportunity to say thank you very much to all the listeners who have listened to me, when I'm sure they could have found many, many better things to be doing. And on behalf of all the other presenters, a big thanks as well. And I hope we can keep doing it for as long as possible.
Certainly, yeah, hopefully. Well, we will. This will all end and we'll be back to normal sooner, hopefully, rather than later. Listen, Peter, thank you very much for taking the call. It's been great talking to you.
John, it's been a pleasure. Reminiscing.
Okay, and listen, happy 25th to Neil FM and all everybody concerned.
And once again, big hi and happy anniversary to all the guys in the station.
Yeah, okay. Listen, thanks very much, Peter.
Thank you, John. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, that was, of course, our own Peter Ridgway on the 25th anniversary of Neil FM.